Amen. From our reading this morning, we're turning back to Mark's Gospel, Mark chapter 6. After a little break over the summer, Mark's Gospel, we're turning back to Mark 6 and verse 30. We're going to read of Jesus feeding the 5,000 this morning. Mark 6, verse 30 through to verse 44. This is what God's Word says. The apostles gathered round Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. By this time it was late in the day, so his disciples came to him. "This is a remote place," they said, "and it's already very late. Send the people away, so that they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." But he answered, "You give them something to eat." They said to him, "That would take more than half a year's wages. Are we to go and spend that much on bread and give it to them to eat?" "How many loaves do you have?" he asked. "Go and see." When they found out, they said, "Five and two fish." Then Jesus told them to make all the people sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to his disciples to distribute to the people. He also divided the 2 fish among them all. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces of bread and fish. The number of the men who had eaten was 5,000. Amen. Let's turn back to Mark's Gospel, Mark 6, and let's pray as we turn there. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this Gospel of Mark and all that it contains, and we pray you would help us to respond to your word this morning as we see the Lord Jesus once again. Please convict us, please speak to us. By your Holy Spirit, we pray for Jesus' name's sake. Amen. I wonder if you can think of a time when you had a particularly good meal. Maybe it was at a favorite restaurant and the menu was just too good. You didn't know what to choose. You had 3 courses and it was all spot on to your tastes exactly. Maybe it was that favorite meal that your mother or your grandmother used to cook, and you can still think of that and taste it now as you remember it. And it might be many years ago, and yet those memories help us to remember that feeling of being satisfied in that meal. You were just full to the brim. You were offered more and you couldn't take any more. You'd eaten your fill and you couldn't have eaten any more of the delicious food that had been set in front of you that day. When you felt like that, whenever it might have been, there was nothing more that could have been added, was there? You were content completely. You were satisfied. And that feeling, it lasted for a good few hours, maybe even lasted you the rest of the day. But there came a point eventually when hunger set in and you had to eat once more. Well, this morning as we return to Mark's Gospel, I want us to see the lasting satisfaction that can be ours in Jesus Christ, when we trust in him, as we come back to Mark's Gospel this morning after a summer break, and hopefully the absence has made your heart grow a little fonder for this great book, as it's describing to us a snapshot of the life and earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a book that is all about him, and Mark is absolutely clear in his focus in the book. He wants to clearly show us who Jesus Christ is. He wants to move us to see Jesus for who he really says he is. He is, from verse 1 of the book, good news, the Messiah, the promised, anointed, ruling rescuer, the Son of God who comes to take away the sins of the world. As we come back to Mark's gospel again this morning, I wonder, friend, what do you think of this Jesus? I wonder, do you know the Jesus of Mark's gospel? Do you trust in this Jesus, or do you still not really want anything to do with this Jesus? I say that because maybe you think that while Jesus was a nice bloke, he did some helpful things, and we respect that, he was nothing more than that. And so for the biggest questions of life, you look elsewhere for the answers. Those big questions like, well, who am I? Why am I even here? What am I living for? Those big questions we all have to have answers for, but you don't think Jesus can be the answer to those questions. And you're looking elsewhere. Maybe that describes you this morning, but so far anyway, you've not quite found something that truly lasts and satisfies you. But this morning, as we come to God's word, that could all change. Because as we come to this incredible account of Jesus feeding thousands of people this morning, and we see again something of who the Lord Jesus really is, that he is a loving, caring, good shepherd, that he can satisfy the deepest longings of our hearts for love and joy and peace and hope, who alone can meet our inmost desires, which deep down we know is that we really were made for something beyond what this world can offer us, who alone can fill that God-shaped hole, as someone once put it, that exists in all of our lives, that we will not find, as a church father of old said, our soul's rest until we find our rest in him. Isn't that what all of us want this morning? Well, don't take it from me, but from the word of God, as we see here in verses 30 to 44 of Mark 6, that Jesus is the satisfying shepherd. And the first way that we see that is that Jesus is compassionate. That's our first point this morning. Jesus is compassionate. We see that in verses 30 through to 37. As we pick back up in this account, we're reminded immediately of what has happened previously in this chapter already, as Jesus sent out the 12 disciples in twos to extend the mission of Jesus, preaching that people should repent, dealing with people's physical needs. And here now in verse 30, the apostles gathered round Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. They've obviously done a lot, and people, they have heard of this unique message, because people continue to come and go, and it's so busy that they didn't even have a chance to eat in verse 31, and Jesus is concerned about that. We've seen in Mark already that Jesus is concerned for our whole person. He's concerned for physical needs. He cares about us as full people. And so he said to them, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." Jesus says this is something good to do. He wants them to spend some quality, quiet time together, just to come aside, to eat, to rest, to recharge. Jesus was concerned for them, for their well-being. It's an example for all of us, isn't it? That we must all have times of rest. It might not always be quiet, but we must have chance to rest, to recharge from the regular routines of life. That's not laziness, it's necessary. Jesus says it's good. And so the disciples, they set sail in a boat to a solitary place. It won't be a solitary place for long. Their ministry had had such an impact that people wouldn't even let the disciples get out of their sight. People have seen them leaving, and so they go and get ahead of them, in all likelihood because the lake was small enough. They would have been able to keep their eye on the boat as they made their way around the shore. And so imagine, as we read these verses, how the disciples on board would have felt as they saw the crowd gathering at the point that they're trying to reach on the other side. You can almost hear the collective audible groan as they come towards the shore. They think, oh, that here they are. And we can sympathize with that a bit, can't we? We know how we feel when we're absolutely shattered and we're longing for that break, for that holiday, how teachers felt about 6 weeks ago. That break is coming. But then something comes up, and you know, I'm not quite going to get the break now that I thought I was. Well, that's what's going on with the disciples here. They've been out on mission, and now they've returned. They've barely had any time to eat anything. They were looking forward to some quiet rest, but it's not to be. But while we human beings feel like that, the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, has a very different attitude. The disciples see this as a nuisance, really, but the Lord Jesus sees this as a need. And he doesn't ignore it. His heart goes out to them. And brothers and sisters, none of us are God. Obviously, we are not God, so we can never love ultimately as he does. We can reflect it, but we can never love in exactly the same way as God does. But may we learn something here as a church? Might we have the same humble attitude and mindset as that of our Savior Jesus? May we never have a view of people that sees them as a nuisance. I'm sure you're tempted to feel like that, because those people, they're not quite like me. People get in the way of our plans. They disrupt our day. But may we always have a view of all people as people who are in need. People who are like sheep without a shepherd. People who are lost in their sin and they're just wandering aimlessly through their days without true direction, without eternal purpose. Jesus sees the need of the people in front of him. He sees their true sorry state, and what does he do? He has compassion on them. I wonder, can you say the same? Look at verse 34 with me. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. Now, in your minds, I imagine that scene, and it's possible, even on a visible level, as the boat pulls into shore, that this great crowd that's gathered, in all likelihood in the white clothing that was generally worn in the day, set against the green backdrop, you think, well, maybe they did look just a little like shepherdless sheep. That's not really the main point, but just trying to paint the picture. Because here was a huge group of people. Here was a huge flock that had no leader. They lacked order and direction. They were in great need of someone to guide them. They're hungry, they're thirsty for spiritual nourishment. And this whole image of being like sheep without a shepherd, it's powerful, isn't it? Because such sheep are lost. They are aimless, aren't they? They are poor, wandering sheep. They're helpless, and they are in need of direction. And that is why Jesus does what he does here. In response to this lost, this aimless group of people, the Lord Jesus has compassion. And so what does he do? Again, verse 34, he began teaching them many things. Jesus' compassionate response is to teach them many things. These people were supposed to have shepherds. And this phrase shepherd actually that Mark uses is one that's found in the Old Testament. When the Old Testament writers, they would speak of a lack of genuine spiritual leadership. Like King Ahab, for example, in 1 Kings 22. And here in Jesus' estimation, these people who are there, the people of God, the people of Israel, they are impoverished. There were priests, there were teachers of the law, but they had failed to nourish the people. The powerless, the lifeless religion of Pharisees and Sadducees left these people in desperate need of a life-changing message. The message of the gospel embodied in the man that was in front of them, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that again is why Jesus is prioritizing preaching. It's a point we've seen Mark repeat frequently through the gospel so far. Jesus knows that these people's need is really, really deep. And it can only be met through him and the truth concerning him. And as he teaches them, time passes and it starts to get late. And so verse 35, the disciples who thought they were getting a mini break, they've had enough. The day started with them thinking, we're going off on a little holiday. But then the crowd has come and Jesus has insisted on engaging with them. And now they think, it seems, well, Jesus, he hasn't even noticed the big catering problem that there is in front of them. They're in the middle of nowhere. The light is slowly fading and there's nothing to eat. So they suggest he send them away so they can go and buy some food. Yet again, the disciples see a nuisance problem that needs to be sorted. But Jesus sees a need to be met. And so, compassionately concerned for their physical well-being, he answers to the disciples, well, you give them something to eat. Jesus teaches his disciples that they have a responsibility to be shepherds of the people. And in this case, that means they are to feed this large group of people. By the response, they obviously think Jesus is joking. They protest, well, that would take more than half a year's wages. In our money, it would take thousands and thousands of pounds even to buy the supermarket basic range to feed this many people. The wedding reception of 100 people is more than enough. So imagine putting on a banquet, a feast for thousands and thousands of people. We'll see how Jesus responds to this in a moment, but before we go any further, I just want us to pause and apply what we're seeing so far, that Jesus is compassionate. Jesus is so kind-hearted, isn't he? He's so concerned for the crowds. He feels deeply for them, and we see his compassion in action as he deals with each individual body and soul. And friends, I want you to know this morning that Jesus is compassionate towards us. He is all compassion, pure, unbounded love is who he is, and he is compassionate towards you. He's been kind to you again this morning in bringing you under the sound of his word. He's compassionately teaching us as we open up the pages of scripture, and every single one of us needs this, friends, because we are all like sheep who've gone astray. Each of us have turned to our own way. We are all by nature lost and helpless. What is life really about? Why am I really here? What am I doing with my life? Friends, we're all born aimless like sheep, strolling around over the Welsh hills, getting stuck in all kinds of places and not living the life we were made to. A couple of years ago, back in 2021, there was a rogue overgrown sheep found roaming somewhere in Victoria State in Australia. He was named Barak by its rescuers, so they had a sense of humour. And its fleece was sheared. It was so big, and it weighed 35 kilograms. That's 5.5 stone in old money. Usually you'd expect a sheep's fleece to weigh about 4 kilograms or 0.5 stone. That's what you get on an annual shearing. So this sheep had not been sheared in years. It had got so lost. It had been lost for so long. Underneath this big fleece, it was underweight, it was in a bad way, and it actually just had to be sheared in order to save its life. And you know, friends, that picture of that poor Barak, the sheep, it's a picture of us. Because we are by nature in a bad way, because we are lost and wandering in the outback of our sin, daily rejecting God, living the way that we think is best. But Jesus is compassionate. Jesus is so kind. He doesn't see us as a nuisance, but he sees us as people in great need. And we are in great need this morning. We are in need of direction and purpose and meaning. We are in need of life itself, life as it is meant to be lived. And Jesus looks on us this morning with compassion and directs us to himself through his word and by his spirit. Jesus is compassionate, and that is demonstrated throughout his life, and most of all, at the cross of Calvary for the sins of the world. If your faith is in Jesus today, then you have known the compassion of Jesus for ourselves, and yet we're still imperfect. We're imperfect sinners, and so we need to ask that God would have mercy on us when we do not show compassion towards others. When we are harsh and unkind in our words and our thoughts, when we are selfish in our actions, when we're unloving towards others. And yet, though all of us fall short in this, the good news for all of us this morning is that the Lord Jesus Christ is compassionate. He is a compassionate Savior who welcomes you to himself this morning. Though you are lost in your sin, though you are like a sheep wandering aimlessly, he looks on you with compassion. And so will you come to the Lord Jesus this morning? Will you commit yourself to him? Will you come back to him, seeking him afresh this morning? And I want to urge each of us this morning that we really must do that. I don't want you to wait anymore. If you've never come to Jesus, you must come to him. Because secondly now, in verses 38 through to 44, we now see that Jesus alone truly satisfies. Jesus alone truly satisfies. Only Jesus can meet the great need, as he met the pressing need on that day 2,000 years or so ago, as Jesus tells the disciples now to go and see how many loaves there are in the crowd, and the answer comes back, well, there's 5 loaves and there's 2 fish. It's hardly a feast, really. Enough for one family picnic. It's probably less than a Subway platter. So the odds don't look promising, humanly speaking. But the disciples, who would have been puzzled and worrying, how are they going to feed all these people? They've maybe not realized that this is all a part of their training. Jesus is preparing them. Not for the first time in Mark. They're in a tight spot, aren't they? But do they really need to worry when Jesus is right there with them? Do they need to be worrying? Well, they knew, of course, it was impossible for the disciples to feed them using their own resources. But that's the point. It was impossible. They couldn't do it in their own strength and in their own power. But Jesus, he can do it. He tells them to make the crowd sit down in groups. He takes these 5 loaves and 2 fish. He gives thanks for them, and then he gives them to the disciples to share out. And when you think about it, it's such a big crowd. The chances are most of the crowd probably haven't seen what's happened. They definitely won't understand where all this food is coming from. But what they do understand is this. They've got something good in front of them. They've got something good in their possession. Here is nourishing food in their hands. And it doesn't take long before their hunger is gone. This is a proper meal. And we get that sense from the original language. It's translated in the ESV as the disciples set the food before the people. Food was set before them, like you'd lay at the table. It wasn't just a snack, but Jesus provides a feast. So abundant is this feast that the disciples, they each pick up a basket and they fill it with leftovers, finishing with more than what they had at the start. Everyone has had their fill. And remember that these people were almost all of a poor background. They wouldn't have had much in life anyway. And yet, here they have had enough. They just can't eat anymore. They are full and they are satisfied with what they've had. Isn't it incredible that the number of men who had eaten was 5,000? Of the original 5 loaves, that's 1 bread roll per 1,000 people. And that's before women and children. So this could easily be 15 to 20,000 people fed that day. It's exciting, isn't it? What delight. There must have been there that day thousands of hungry people fed until they could eat no more. Jesus has met their need in a most remarkable way. And friends, I want you to know this morning that Jesus Christ alone can truly satisfy us. He can meet our deepest needs. And how can we say that? Well, let's not forget that Mark is always wanting us to ask the question, well, who is this Jesus? Who is he? And the miracle recorded here gives us some answers to who this Jesus is and how no one else but he alone can truly satisfy the deepest needs and longings of our hearts. And one answer is found in the way that this great crowd has gathered and followed Jesus to this solitary place. And this solitary place, the word translated as that, is that it's a desert place. It's a wilderness. That is where the people are. They've come to this place and they have been fed and satisfied quite miraculously as food has been provided for them. And that's not the first time that such a thing has happened. In the scriptures, about 1,500 years before, there was a man, and his name was Moses. He was a man of God. He was a leader of God's people. And he led them out of slavery from Egypt into the desert to the very edge of the promised land. And during their wanderings in the wilderness, God miraculously provided for them. Day after day after day, he sent them manna from heaven, and it satisfied the hunger of the Israelites. And not long before the end of his life, as the people were on the edge of entering the promised land, Moses told the people in Deuteronomy 18 and verse 18 that the Lord promised to raise up for them a prophet like you from among their fellow Israelites. And I will put my words in his mouth, and he will tell them everything I command him. And now, in Mark 6, all those years later, Jesus comes. He appears, and here in this solitary place, he stands before the crowd and feeds them, revealing himself as the new Moses, but the far better than Moses ever was. Because all Moses did was tell people that there was manna coming from God by his power, and that they should collect it and how they should eat it. But here now, Jesus, by the power of God himself, provides the food for them. And the message is so clear. Jesus is the new, the greater Moses. He's come to rescue his people. This is the new and the better Exodus. He is the one who alone can satisfy our need. He is the one who will deliver us from all of our sin and self-centeredness into this new life with him. Friends, the Lord Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of all Scripture. He is what the Bible is all about. He is the great leader. He is the Messiah. He is the shepherd of his people. And again, when Moses was nearing the end of his life, he was concerned for who would lead the people on into the promised land. And so he prayed in Numbers 27, verse 15 and following, "May the Lord, the God who gives breath to all living things, appoint someone over this community to go out and come in before them, one who will lead them out and bring them in, so that the Lord's people will not be like sheep without a shepherd." And in the first instance, the Lord gave Joshua to his people, and he gave other leaders as the years went by. Some were good, some not so good. But notice here now that when Jesus saw the huge crowd, he saw them as what? As sheep without a shepherd. As uncared for sheep, he would come and he would shepherd them. Here Jesus reveals himself to them as the shepherd of Israel, fulfilling Ezekiel 34, where the Lord says, "I will place over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he will tend them and will be their shepherd." The people who ran around the lake that day, they didn't have the leadership, the direction, the care that they needed so desperately. All the other shepherds, even the best ones, they came and they went. They were fleeting. They couldn't truly satisfy the longings of the people. And we need to realize that, friends. We need to recognize that every human leader, even a new prime minister in this country in recent weeks, they will ultimately let us down. But Jesus never will. He is the good shepherd. He is the true shepherd, the final shepherd, the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. And that connects very closely with what at first seems like a very insignificant detail in our reading this morning in verse 39. We read there in verse 39 that Jesus told them to make all the people sit down in groups on the green grass. On the green grass. On one level, sure, we're just being told a fact. The grass was green. And you might think, well, isn't it always? But maybe, just maybe, that rings a little bell for us as we remind ourselves of the opening words of Psalm 23 we sang earlier. "The Lord's my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures." The good shepherd makes us lie down in green pastures. And the shepherd of David's psalm takes the sheep to a place of peace and rest and security, provides them with all that they need. And here in Mark 6, Jesus has seen the people as sheep without a shepherd, and he has compassion on them, and he reveals himself to them as the one that they need, and he feeds his sheep. As the good shepherd, they need to meet their greatest need. They need to know it met. And so God himself in the flesh comes to meet that need. The Lord Jesus is there at the shore of Galilee, fulfilling one of the greatest and most personal pictures of the Lord in Scripture. He is the good shepherd. He's full of compassion. He is literally catering for the people of Israel here. He comes and he says, well, in me, you can have your greatest need met. In me, you can have your deepest longing satisfied. In me alone, you can be truly satisfied. That's so compelling, friends, isn't it? What a unique offer the Lord Jesus makes this morning to us, to come to him and find that, well, there's none but Christ who can satisfy us in all of our lives. Because, you see, this account this morning shows us very clearly that without the Lord Jesus, we really are just sheep wandering without a shepherd. We really are lost in this life. We are wandering in darkness. If we stay as we are and remain on our own, then that will never change. And you need to know that this morning. But the Lord Jesus is the shepherd who promises to come and to care for us and to stay right there with us and to provide for us and to never let us down. He will never fail us. He will never give up on us. And no other human being in all of history can say that. But Jesus can. And he, the good shepherd, will give us rest. And this scene in itself illustrates that, doesn't it? When Jesus arrives on the other side of the shore, there's this large milling crowd without direction, but it becomes a place of rest, of peace, as Jesus, in compassion, takes control of the situation. And that's true of our lives too this morning if we're Christians, isn't it? When Jesus is our Lord and Savior, when we confess our sins to him, when we confess that he alone is Lord, he is the one who is in charge of our lives, then we'll have that deep-seated peace and rest for our souls, because our sins are forgiven. And we will know that there is nothing that can destroy that peace, no matter what is going on all around us and in our lives. Such an encouragement for us this morning, if you're a Christian, to say that you know the Good Shepherd, that you have this peace and provision and security. And it's as we close this morning, I want us to briefly note just exactly where we find these words in this account in Mark. Nothing is accidental, everything is with purpose in Scripture. And just before in the verses concerning Herod, there was a question that was raised about the identity of Jesus and who he was. Back in verse 14 to 16 of this chapter, people were wondering, well, who is this Jesus? And they got different answers. He's Elijah. He's a prophet of the Old Testament. He's even John the Baptist raised from the dead. That was the question being asked. But strangely, maybe, Mark didn't answer the question immediately and directly. He went on to describe the end of John the Baptist's life instead. And so really, we're still waiting for Mark to pick up on that. Well, what were the people thinking? What answers did they come to? And here Mark answers that pressing question in these verses. He's answered it for us this morning with immense clarity, that Jesus Christ is compassion personified. Jesus is one who has compassion. Jesus is the one who can meet the needs of humanity in a way that nobody else can. Nobody else has lived and died and risen again for the sins of the world. Only Jesus has done that. Only he alone can satisfy our great need to be saved from our lostness. Because that's what we are, friends. We are lost in our sin, from wandering in hopelessness and darkness, because he's the good shepherd who has come to go on and to lay down his life for his sheep. God took on flesh to live the life that we couldn't, to die the death that you and I deserved, rising again on the third day that we might know life in its fullness, a content life, a peace-filled life, a life where we do have purpose and we do have meaning because we know the one who has made life itself. I think it's possible that some of those who were part of the crowd that day, those who went home full to the brim on bread and fish, I think they might have done that singing with a new and deeper meaning to those words that they would have known so well, that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me down to lie. In pastures green, he leads me by quiet waters by. The crowds would have gone home full, satisfied, content in the Lord Jesus, some of them. I wonder if you're going to make your way home from church this morning in the same way. Is this true for you this morning? Are you content, satisfied in the Lord Jesus? Have you got peace with God? Can you say the Lord is your shepherd? Is Jesus Christ the Lord of your life? Have you committed yourself to him? Are you trusting in him this morning? The compassionate, caring, loving God who gives us not what we deserve, but who graciously gives us that which meets all our needs through his life and through his death and through his resurrection from the dead. Come to Jesus Christ today, friend, and trust yourself to him. Trust yourself to the Good Shepherd and experience this life that you were made for. Maybe you've done that. Maybe you did it many years ago for the first time. But brothers and sisters, I want to encourage you to come again this morning to Jesus. Come to him. We all need to come to Jesus. Because maybe you've just forgotten a little bit in recent days and weeks that in Jesus Christ our souls have found peace and joy that we long for, and we do have it. But we can be so complacent, can't we? And we get distracted by other things, and they can be valid things, but they distract us. And we forget that Jesus is the compassionate Good Shepherd, and that he actually is in him love and life and lasting joy. And this morning, we just all need to come to him and repent of our sin and our waywardness and our forgetfulness, where even in this last week maybe our lives haven't reflected that none but Christ can satisfy us. We need to come to him this morning and pray that the Holy Spirit would just so warm our hearts that we'd be so thrilled by the Lord Jesus, that we'd walk closer with him in this week to come, that we'd not be distracted by the failed and the broken offers of this world, but that we would find our hope and our peace and our joy in Jesus, who is all compassion. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we pray that you would help us to dwell upon your word this morning. We praise you for who you are, the Good Shepherd, who has laid down his life for the sheep. We thank you that you have had compassion on us, and you have spoken to us this morning through your word. Please help us to only ever always look to you alone for contentment and satisfaction in this world. We confess so often we don't do this, and we pray you would help us in this week to come to put you first, to rest in you, and to follow you always for our good and your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.